right. Good morning, Overflow. How are we doing this morning? Are we awake in the place? We're awake. Tech and creative team. I like that intro. That kind of had like a bump to it. We got, you know what I mean? Right. It's funny. We're if you're new here, my name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm kind of the interim guy. And it's awesome. It's been awesome already getting to serve with you guys and getting to regather last weekend and be back in the house this weekend. Thank you guys for being here. And I do want to give a special welcome to those of you joining us online. I know many people have many different reasons why they're not in the house, but you're still a part of the OC, the Overflow Church family. We love you. Can't wait to see you back here soon. But while I'm pastoring this church, this is just a side note. The second service, you kind of get like, this is like the fun one because I feel like there's no time limit. So they said I could preach 2-3 hours. No, literally, we always try and keep it the same time. But like, I get to say things I don't say in the first service. I pastor simultaneously a church down in Kingston, Jamaica, and we're doing this same series at the same time called Driven. It was funny watching that video because it's like the cars in the snow. That is not what the video looks like in Kingston this weekend. We did not use that. It's like, you know, palm trees and beach and up here, but that's good. I like that. Great job, Abby and the creative team. But if you are new, we're in a series. We're in week 2 of a series called Driven. And the premise of that, like we talked about last week, is we're all driven by something, right? Career goals, relationship goals. Some of you, 2021, single ladies, all about getting the ring, right? Like we all have different aspirations. It's funny, in the first service, I was like, where are my single people at? And my man Logan at the soundboard was the only guy that raised his hand. And I was like, bro, we got to get you some single ladies in here. But hey, dude, good news for you is you're the only one, so let's go. I told him I was going to call him out again. His face got beat red. I'm sorry. He's never coming back. I love you, Logan. What was I even saying? Oh, yeah. But we're all driven by different things, sometimes negative things. Sometimes we're driven by our insecurities. Sometimes we're driven by people's expectations on us. But if we want to step into all that God has for us in 2021, we need to be driven by the right things. It's kind of like a car. You go in and get your tires aligned. What we wanted to start this year with is aligning our spirits with God's will and word in our lives. And so that's what we've been doing. Last week, we talked about shifting through the gears of our faith. If you missed it, it was kind of a foundational message for where we're going. I would encourage you to check it out. Hoping you all got to kick it into overdrive this week. Experience what it's like shifting through. Let's see if I can remember. Obedience, serving, community. Anybody remember what was next? Obedience, serving, community, giving. Yeah. Giving. Gear number 5. Anybody? Yeah. Leadership, reproduction. And gear number 6? Mind of Christ. Overdrive. Hey! Overflow, yeah. Online, I know y'all are putting in the chat room. And next week, I'll go ahead and do spoiler alert. We'll Tarantino it. I'll tell you where we're going first. Next week, special weekend, week 3, the title of my message next week is, Are We There Yet? Have you ever been on a long road trip? Maybe you got the kids in the back seat, and it's like 10 minutes into the drive, right? And you hear that, Mom, are we there yet, right? But we all know we've had that feeling in life. Too, right? But next week's not just week 3 of Driven. It's a special weekend in our country. It is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, MLK Day weekend, which is a big deal, especially in light of where we're at as a nation right now. I mean, even in given that message, that echoing speech from Martin Luther King, I have a dream, it raises the question, are we there yet? Has that dream come to fruition? So we're going to be talking about that next weekend. Some of you are like, ooh, I can't wait for next weekend. Some of you are like, ooh, where's he going to go with that? Now, I guarantee you, we're going to jump into James chapter 5. That's the passage for next weekend. It's going to be fun. And but this week, the title of my message is Running on Empty. Running on Empty. Anybody ever felt like you were running on empty? Some of you are like, all 2020, right? You're just like, huh, right? Anybody ever been like running on empty in the car? Like, you know that feeling? Like you're just like stressed out? Yeah, like some of us have done that many a times. What we're talking about today is if we realize and recognize that we are meant to be filled with something, just like a car is meant to be filled with gasoline or petrol, like just like a car is meant to be filled with a certain type of fuel, God has designed us to be filled with something. Like we were made, again, shout out to the creative team, got my prop. Some of you are like, did he steal that? No, Amazon. It actually wasn't too expensive. But we're all meant to be filled with something, right? Just like a car, you got to stop and fill it up or it won't be functioning. Today, it may be a reminder that many of us haven't thought about it and even stopped and filled up in a long time. And just like your car, if you don't fill it up, you're going to end up on the side of the road going nowhere. And it's the same way with our lives. But it's not enough to fill up. We have to fill up with the right things. Like, I don't know if you know that. Your car, when you pull up, I told the story the first service. I got a couple bad, like, fuel car stories. I won't tell many, but I was driving from Pensacola, Florida to Gainesville, Florida my freshman year of college, and I was riding with a friend of mine, and we pulled over to about Tallahassee. It's a five-hour drive, and I went to fill up her car, and she pulled up to the pump, and I got to the pump, and I went to put the gasoline, the fuel nozzle into the pump, and it wouldn't fit. It was like a fatter nozzle, and I remember I was like, 18, some of you, any of you know where I'm going with this? Okay, yeah, well, I didn't at the time. Don't judge me. So I went to put it in the you know, gas tank, and it wouldn't fit. And I was like, this is so strange. And so I got like a pen, and I pried it open, and I put some in. Some of you think I'm a moron. And I put some in, but I couldn't do much. So I put like $5 in. And then we hop back in the car, and we start driving, and we get like a mile down the road, and the engine starts shaking. And I was like, what's going on? So we pull over. My dad's in the car business. I call my dad. And I'm like, Dad, what? The engine's shaking. He's like, what happened? And I told him, I was like, well, I went to put gas in it, but it must have been a strange type of gas because the nozzle wouldn't fit. And he goes, Corey, that was diesel. You can't put diesel in a regular engine. It will ruin it. And sure enough, luckily, I'd only put a little bit. And we went and found another gas station. And we put enough of the right fuel in it. And we were able to keep running. How many of us know we can put the wrong fuel in our spirits? Some of us spend so much. We go home at the end of the day and we fill up on Netflix. We go up at the end of the day and we fill up on gossip. Or we go up at the end of the day and we fill up on Fox News or CNN. And again, none of those things, gossip is bad, but none of those other things are intrinsically bad, but you have to stop and ask, if that's all that you're filling up with, how is your spiritual tank and your spiritual engine really doing? And so the three questions, this is just so fun. I just want to hold this the whole time, but I kind of didn't think it through. I should have worn the head mic so that way I could really play with it, but yeah. Anyways, I'm ADD when I preach. I'm sorry, guys. Everything comes out. But the three questions we want to answer today are, what should we fill up with? What are the indicators when we're full or empty, just like in a car? And how do we really fill up? Those are just three simple questions we want to answer today. Y'all ready? All right, let's jump in. Three of you. Cool. Online, I know it was a smattering in the text message room. Y'all were like, yeah. And in here, three people are ready, but I'm still going to go. So the first question, what should we be full of? What should we be full of? Again, we just admitted we are all full of something. We are made to be full. The question is, are we full of the right things? So here's the deal. Let's just start off. Look at the person next to you and tell them you're full of it. Tell them you're full of it. Now by it, here's some of you are like, can we say that in church? It just all depends on what you mean by it. By it, we mean what Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, just one verse makes it nice and clear what we should be full of. You have been designed for a certain type of fuel. And Ephesians 5 18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit on the count of three. One, two, three. Spirit. Now that word there in Ephesians, for you Bible scholars, you know the New Testament was primarily written in Greek. And that word there, it translated in Greek is this word pneuma. Pneuma actually kind of can also be translated breath, like the divine breath of God. In other words, In Genesis 1, when it said God created Adam, and then he breathed his breath into him, that's divine, eternal breath. That's the same breath that created the stars in the universe. So the star breather himself put that power into man, and then he said, you were designed to be filled with that power. But how many of you know there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit? There is a difference. Just like you can have gas in your tank, or you can have a full tank, right? You can have a three-quarter tank. You can have a quarter tank, half tank. It's the same way in the Spirit. When we say yes to following Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. We get the access to the Holy Spirit. But there is something to be said about being full of the Holy Spirit. If there wasn't a difference, then it wouldn't say the word filled in the Bible. So what we're designed to be filled with, again, just right off the bat, is the Spirit of God. I just love that too. Like if you've ever tried to like witness or share your faith with a millennial, it's always so fun. Because if you like say the words like church or Jesus or something like that, they'd be like, are you religious? And a lot of people don't like that title. Like, are you religious? But here's a really popular title. They'll say, no, but I'm spiritual. Like a lot of people will be like, oh, I don't do the church thing, but I'm spiritual. I always retort. I'll be like, man, the most spiritual people I know are Christ followers because Christ followers actually have the Holy Spirit, actually have the creating power of the universe, that Spirit
within us. You're the most spiritual people I know if you follow Jesus. So we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, but just like a fuel gauge, there are indicators when we're running on full or empty. I remember when I first got a car, 16 years old, I was blessed. My dad got me a 1996 Jeep Cherokee. I love me some Jeeps. And I got a little old 96 Jeep Cherokee. And you know, your first car, it doesn't matter what it is, you're excited to have it. But I had a 96 Jeep Cherokee, but I have a younger sibling. And as soon as you get a car, you then become a chauffeur for your younger sibling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like parents, as soon as your eldest gets a car, it's like, see ya, right? To and from school, to and from practice. But I was fine with that. I was excited. But it wasn't long into driving that I realized that gas takes money. And so I was on empty all the time because I was a broke high school student. And the problem with that is it caused a lot of tension between my younger brother and I. Because we would go to school. School started at 7:15 in the morning. And we would normally leave our house like at 7 o'clock, 7:05 because we lived really close to the school. But we would jump in the car, and my brother would always look at my gas tank, and he would see when it was getting close to that E. And he would always remind me, hey, Corey, you need to get gas. You need to get gas. But what would happen? I'd go to school. After school, I'd have like football, baseball, or basketball practice. After football, baseball, or basketball practice, I would then have extracurricular activities. Usually, I would run from football practice on a Wednesday. I'd literally run to my car, drive to church. Then I'd have worship band practice for youth group for an hour and a half. And then I would have a our youth group on Wednesday night. And I would get home at like 10 o'clock. And then after all that, I would be exhausted. And so I wouldn't stop and get gas. So next morning, I would wake up. And then my brother would go, Corey, did you get gas? And he'd be like, we can't not make it to school. And I'll never forget this one day. I woke up, and my brother the day before, he made me swear. He was like, Corey, you have to get gas. I have an exam tomorrow morning. If you don't get gas, we can't run out of gas. I can't miss my exam. Sure enough, long day, I forget to fill up. Wake up the next day, get in the car, and my brother, the first thing he does, we're running late, and he looks over, and he sees, you know, you have E, and then the needle can go. I don't know if you know this. The needle can go past E. Great beyond that some of us live in sometimes. And I had never gotten more spiritual. At that moment, when that car cranked up and that needle didn't move at all and that little yellow light came on, I started praying fuel into the gas tank. Anybody ever been there? And my brother was so mad at me. He was like, Corey, I asked you to get gas. You said you were going to get gas. Like, I can't be late for this exam. I can't fail this class. And all of a sudden, there was so much tension and anxiety and stress, all because I didn't fill up my tank. It's the exact same way in our lives. The Bible says that there are indicators in our lives when we're full, and there are indicators in our lives when we're empty spiritually. And so the Bible right here in Galatians chapter 5 shows us those full indicators. It says it like this, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is like saying when you are full of the Spirit. Because what is fruit? When there is a healthy tree and it overflows and reproduces. It's what comes out of something that's healthy. So the fruit of the Spirit is like saying when we are full of the Spirit, this is the indicator. This is what our gauge looks like. This is what comes out of us, what overflows out of us. Get it? All right. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, as I read those words, it's like, I mean, when I read that list at first, I was like, that felt like the opposite of 2020. Like every single one of those words, I was like, man, those were really rare. But what it's saying is when we're full, we have peace, we have joy, we're patient with people. And one of my favorite study tools, whether I'm studying history, science, or the Bible, is to look for absolute truths. If you can find an absolute truth, you can then look at the antithesis of it to learn a little bit more. So here it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Like, so it gives us some absolutes. So then it's like a seesaw. That means the opposite of that is true as well. So if to be full is to have these things, then to be empty would be to have the opposites. So what are the indicators in our lives that we need to go fill up? What does it look like when our lives are running on empty? I wrote some down. Well, it says peace is a sign of being full, so anxiety is a sign of maybe being empty. Now, let me be clear here. Some of us and some people we know, I have people in my family that have like a chemical imbalance that actually causes more anxiety than what's average. I'm not talking about that. If you struggle with anxiety or depression, we are all for counseling, good Christian counseling, getting medical help if you need it. Like that's one thing, and we're pro help in that. But then there's also just anxiousness. You know what I mean? Like you wake up and you're just feeling anxious. You're anxious about the job. You're anxious about the income. You're anxious about the economy. You're anxious about the election. You're anxious about, there's just anxiety. And the Bible tells us that that is not a fruit of the Spirit. When we're empty, when we're running on empty, that's when we start to feel anxious. The Bible actually says as Christ followers, it says we should be anxious for nothing. That word nothing in the Greek, you know what it means? Nothing. Yes, she's a Greek scholar. Yeah. It literally means nothing in life, if we follow Jesus, should ever allow us to walk in anxiety. Because we don't have to. Even when we have no money, even when we have no home, I've been there. I was homeless, jobless, and carless all in the same day. Like, it was crazy, the highs and lows that God has brought. And then 6 months later, I was in the hospital about to die with one of the worst cases of pneumonia the doctor had ever seen. And like, we've all had our highs and lows. But even in those lows, we don't have to feel anxiety because the king's still on the throne. He's not surprised by it. He beat death, so we're not scared of death. And if you're not scared of death, what could cause you anxiety? So the Bible says to be full of the Spirit is to be in tune with reality, his presence, and the truth and promises of God, so we don't feel anxious. And again, this is an indictment on somebody's character. Maybe you woke up anxious today. That's okay. But just like that warning light on your gauge, let it remind you, oh, I need to get full of the Spirit. I'll keep going. It got real quiet in here. If you're watching online, everybody's like, eh. But we'll keep going. So I said, you know, anxiety. Here's another one. It says patience is when we're full of the Spirit. So I wrote like a short temper is a sign that you may be running on empty. Anybody ever have a short fuse sometimes? No, I'm thank you for being honest. You can. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying in church. We'll pray for you. But many of us know what that's like, right? Like it's a long day at work. You've been dealing with the kids all day and you're snappy, right? My dad used to come home from work and we used to always know when he didn't eat lunch because he'd be a little angry and I'd literally be like, sandwich? Like you need to come. You need to fill your food tank and your spiritual tank. My wife and I, we joke with each other. Like when we're a little snappy, one of us will catch it and we'll look at the other one and we always say, you need to spend some time with Jesus. Like we just call each other out and be like, you need to go get with Jesus. You need to fill your spiritual tank because a short temper is a sign that we may be on empty. I'll keep going. There's a bunch. I know y'all are loving this. Oh, wait, here's a good one. Hold on. Yeah, now I told y'all, I minister in Jamaica and they love this one. It says a fruit of the Spirit to be full is to be faithful. So a sign that we're running on empty is when we're unfaithful. Now, yeah. Now, when I say unfaithful, our minds immediately go to infidelity, right? Oh, I'm faithful in my marriage. I don't cheat, right? But that's not what faithful means here. That's a part of it. Hey, are we faithful? But what it means is a sign that you're empty is if you're not keeping your commitments. Let's just get practical. Are you perpetually late? Oh, did you hear how quiet it just got? Some of us walked into church late, right? No, it's okay. There's no judgment. No perfect people allowed. We're good. Like, if you're perpetually late, if you're perpetually, like, scrambling to finish things at work or school assignments, if you're always last minute, that is a sign that you may be spiritually running on empty. Because if we're doing life God's way, like we said last week, we're obedient, we're serving, we're implementing God's priorities in our lives, it actually creates margin. Margin creates time. Time means we can keep our commitments. So faithfulness doesn't just mean in marriage. Here's the way James says it in the Bible. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, it actually says as a Christ follower, we should never promise ever or swear by anything. It always is a red flag to me when somebody's like, oh, I promise. I'm like, why do you have to guarantee your word so much? I must not be able to depend on it. Because the Bible says when a Christ follower says, I'll be there, 9:55, done. That they show up. And you can bank on it. You could set your clock on a Christ follower if we're faithful, if we're full of the Spirit. Y'all see how practical this is? So again, just don't let it be an indictment or like wreck you, but like all of a sudden in your week, if you realize, man, I'm scrambling, maybe the answer isn't to work harder. Maybe the answer is to stop and fill up on the right thing. is to fill your tank up. And there's more. I mean, y'all know, y'all are loving this so much, so I won't keep. I put, like, if you're rough or you lose control easily, again, you snap on people, it says self-control is a sign of being full of the Spirit, so lack of self-control is a sign of being empty. You can keep going. I wrote, you know, joy is full, so sadness. Just wake up sad, you know? I'm not talking about clinical depression. That's different. But there's days I'm just down. I'm like, man, there's a lot going on. I need to remind myself of the good in life. I need to get filled with the Spirit. And then the last one here, I mean, it says the first one, love is a sign that you're full. So then hate would be a sign that you're empty. I don't know, a lot of us are like, I don't hate anything. But think about it, especially in today's current climate. Man, I hate that political party. Man, I hate when they act like that. Man, I hate you when you say that. Man, I hate. All of a sudden you hear those thoughts in your head or maybe out of your mouth. Maybe you're empty. So when we're empty in our car, what do? We stop and fill up. When we find that we're spiritually empty, when we're getting those indicators, what do we need to do? Stop and fill up, right? Now, I'm just going to say something because I can, because I'm like the short-term guy, and if you don't like me, come back in a few months or whatever, like there will be a new lead guy. But I just like, I said it last week, I like getting all up in your chili because I think that's when God can cook up the right stuff. But like, here's what I find often happens. When our car is empty, we need to go to a gas station that has a deep reservoir of the fuel we need and fill up. But you know what happens like when you run out on the side of the road and you run out of gas and somebody brings one of those little red gas tanks and they just top you off or just give you just enough to get where you need to go? I think that's what a lot of us do in our spiritual lives. I think in our spiritual lives, a lot of us go, hey, pastor, will you top me off? Hey, small group leader, will you give me a word? Hey, worship leader, I don't ever worship on my own, but can I get a worship fix today on Sunday? And we rely on other people to just top us off and tip us off and fill us up little by little. When Jesus says, I am the well that never runs dry. Come to me and you will never thirst again. I am the reservoir. Are we filling up with the Spirit of God? So then that leads us to our third question. What should we be full of? The Spirit. What are the indicators when we're full and empty? And again, here, like, I'll just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Like, when I talk about the Spirit, if you, like, I grew up in the Chosen Frozen. Like, I was a Baptist boy. And some of you get that. If you grew up in the Baptist church, we don't move, we don't clap, we definitely don't dance, right? Some of you are like, there's no way you're a Baptist. In college, I went to an AG church. And some of you are like, that makes sense. So I've been all over the spectrum. But when you say filled with the Spirit, a lot of people's minds immediately run to, like, speaking in tongues or snake handling or something. Some of y'all never been to those kind of churches. You're like, snakes? No. But our minds really, they run to these like crazy charismatic examples. We're going to talk about what it looks like to really be filled with the Spirit at the end, like what the main indicator is. But how do we fill? How do we fill with the Spirit? So I want to end us with a passage out of Acts chapter 4. If you have a Bible, open up to it. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The book of Acts is filled with being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the day of Pentecost. It's when Jesus literally sends the Holy Spirit to start his work in the earth. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, it starts. When they were released. Who's they? Two disciples that were teaching about Jesus, and they got arrested, beaten, and taken before the judge, and then they were released because it said they could find no charge against him. So these two guys, have just been persecuted for doing what we're doing here today. So it says, when they were released, they went to their friends, we'll come back to that, and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said to the Holy Spirit. And now they go to Scripture. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, that's one of the first examples, practical examples, of what it looks like to fill up on the Holy Spirit. But did you catch what they did? So they had just gotten off a tough time, got arrested, persecuted, you know, almost put in prison for life for preaching. They got out of it. So many of us can relate. So when we're in tough times, when we're feeling spiritually empty, what did they do? It said they went to their friends. In verse 31, it says, and as they were gathered. In other words, one of the first places we can gas up on the Holy Spirit is when we gather together with God's people. Thank you for being here. Look at the person next to you and say, you're awesome. Like, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're awesome. You're alone, so I got you, right? When we gather together, now, if you go to Urban Dictionary and look up the term gas up, like, it's actually kind of negative. It's like, oh, don't gas them up. It means, like, don't give them a big head. You know what I mean? But I actually think at church, we should look to gas each other up. Like, gas up, gas up. I just said earlier, like, we don't depend on other people to gas you up, but look for opportunities. Hey, that's an awesome jacket. How are you doing in life? You're an amazing person. You got a great smile. And I actually mean all these things. That's an awesome jacket. I want to know how you're doing later. And you have a great smile. But like, we should look to encourage one another and gas each other up. Does that make sense? The Bible, the word for it is edification. The Bible says one of the main reasons we gather is to edify one another. That means to build up. So here, the first thing they did is they gathered. When are you gathering? Sundays, praise God. Fill up, come here, gather. But what does it look like during the week? Are you gathering with your spouse? Are you gathering with your kids? Hey guys, let's gas up this morning. Hey, let's end our evening together, make sure we're filled up. Are we gathering with a small group, digitally or in person? Are we filling up? And again, you can fill up on your own, gather with God, but do not neglect the gathering of his people. And again, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys are here. You guys are watching online, but just want to emphasize it. So the first thing we see here is they gathered. The second thing we see here is they said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. What is that? That's praise. They started adoring God. They started praising God for who he was. They started claiming, God, you're sovereign. You're all-knowing. That's another way of saying you're in control. God, you're the maker. You're the creator. Praise and worship is a way to gas up, is a way to fill up on the spirit and truth of God. And here's one of my favorite things is like, people would say like, man, if I'm not living that out, I don't know if I should sing it. That's what I was like very, like I was a Pharisee when I was in college, if I'm just being honest. I thought I knew everything about the Bible. For some reason, when we're in our early 20s, we're like, I know it all. And then you grow and you're like, I know nothing. But like, I used to come into church and be like, man, if I wasn't living right, I don't want to be a hypocrite and sing. And I had a great worship leader actually sit me down and he said, Corey, you sing to align yourself with God's truth. Even if it's not true in your heart, sing it and your heart will align with it. We proclaim God's truth even when we don't feel it. And we let the truth dictate our feelings, not the other way around. And so here, they start praising God and then they quote scripture. They go and quote the Torah, the Old Testament. God's word is one of the greatest ways to fill up with his presence, with his spirit. Again, if God's breath created the stars and the universe, and then God breathed into man, and then God out of man made his word, and his word creates the stars and universes, think about this. When you open the Bible, you're not reading ink on a page. You're inhaling divine breath. It's a different ballgame. So again, they gather, they praise and worship, they read God's word and recite God's word, and then it says, and when they prayed. Prayer. I know this sounds cliche. You're like, the pastor's telling us to pray. Yes, I am. Because prayer, that secret place, that time with God, when we talk to him, is one of the best ways to fill up with the right fuel. So y'all kind of catching this pattern that we see here? Gather, praise and worship, look at his word and pray. That's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, 21 days of prayer and fasting. You don't even have to open the Bible if you don't want to a certain page and chapter. We've written it all for you. It's online. People of the Overflow family have written a devo every day going through the book of Colossians. You can get a hard copy or you can go online to our website and download it and follow along with us. Some of us have never ran on a full tank for 21 days straight spiritually, and it will change your life. It will change your life. So some days you'll be like, I don't feel different. Watch the trend over the 3-week. That's why we don't do it for 3 days. We do it for 3 weeks. You do something for 21 days, you really see the results in your life. I would challenge you, if you haven't committed to doing that, do it and start tomorrow with us. And like Pastor Chad was saying earlier, fasting, some people are like, man, that's like for the super spiritual. No. In the Bible, prayer and fasting always went hand in hand. We just like eliminated one of them and said, oh, that's just for the spiritual. No. often it would say they prayed and fasted, they prayed and fasted, they prayed and fasted. Jesus himself prayed and fasted. Again, you don't have to give up food for 21 days. Some of you are like, I didn't make it, I died. Well, you'd be in heaven. Amen. Not really. But give up a type of food. I know people that are giving up meat. Like Chad said, some people are giving up caffeine. Some people are giving up social media. Every time you want to click on Instagram, go to the Bible app. Instead of getting social with other people, get social with God. Right? Like, there's a lot of different things we can fast, but this is the reason we're doing it. So we can all fill up on the right things. And I said this in the first service, but I just want to be clear on this. Like, and I don't mean to harp on it. It is so important. Imagine if you had a vehicle, but you always needed your spouse or you always needed your friend to go fill up your car for you. You wouldn't get very far in life. That's what so many of us do when it comes to our spiritual nourishment, when it comes to our spiritual tanks. We rely on other people. We rely on the church. We rely on the pastor. We rely on the worship leader. Like, many of us have never worshiped God in our homes. We rely on Joel and Debbie and the worship team up here once a week to fill us up with worship. But I guarantee you, these next 21 days, you have YouTube. Even if you don't, just make up the words about God. But just try worship. Your kids are going to think you're crazy. 6:30 in the morning, you wake up and you're going, man, I can't sing. So y'all get ready. You say, hallelujah, my God reigns. I sound ridiculous, but God, hallelujah. Thank you that you reign. And your kids will be like, mom's lost her mind. But I guarantee you she'll see the difference in your spirit because you're full. Some of us rely on other people for our spiritual tank filling. I said this in the first service, like, it's not the pastor's job to feed you. It's not the pastor's job to fill your tank. Some of you are like, woo, hold on a second. Hey, let me break this down. I'll just get there. The pastor, a word for pastor in the Bible is shepherd. Shepherd is like an agrarian term. It's a sheep herder. Imagine if it was the shepherd's job to bend down and pick up the grass and put it in the mouth of every single sheep. That would be an extremely malnourished and small flock. It's not the shepherd's job to feed the sheep. It is the shepherd's job to show them where the food is, and then they eat themselves. I'll dig in even further. There's nothing wrong. The Bible says when we say yes to Jesus, we're like infants, we're baby Christians. Baby Christians do need to be fed. That's part of it. But I think one of the worst things in Western Christianity is we have a bunch of Christians that are 10, 20, 30, 50 years old in their faith still walking around with a spiritual umbilical cord because they haven't learned how to feed themselves. You ever heard somebody that left the church and they said, well, I just didn't feel fed there? You know what that means? They're still an infant spiritually, because mature believers do not need to be fed. They know how to feed themselves. My job, our job, is not to feed you. Rather, it's to give you the appetizer and show you where it's at so you dig in. You want to talk about filling up your tank Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, Tuesday, Saturday? It's when you learn how to get in God's word, how to praise him. And it's awkward and it's uncomfortable at first. The first time you go to a gas station, you're like, this smells bad. It's dirty. I don't get it. But then it becomes routine and normal and your tank gets full and you learn how to flourish in life with a full tank. And here's how I'll wrap up our time, because I know many of us are new to this. And so I want to give you a tool, an acronym I learned back when I started like following Jesus. I learned this in middle school, and I still practice this to this day. Band, you guys can come on back up. Appreciate you. We'll finish it out with one more song. But this is just a simple tool. If you don't know what to do, or if you don't know how to pray, try this. Tomorrow morning, tonight, try this. Now, I told you, we were reading out of the book of Acts. The acronym is ACTS. A-C-T-S. Everybody say ACTS on the count of three. One, two, three. Good job. That was really good. Thanks, guys. Catching on. And by the way, the value behind that is I think preaching is best when it's not a monologue, but a dialogue. When we interact and respond with God's word. I think that's when it really activates in our heart. So I'm not just asking you to respond so I feel good and so you gas me up, even though it's nice. I'm asking you to respond so God does something in your heart, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Make sense? Cool. So ACTS, whenever we go to gas up with God, tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, a couple weeks from now, if you're not sure how to do it, if you've never done it before, start with A. A stands for adoration. Everybody say adoration. Adoration means adore God, like what they did here. Sovereign, creator. Here's an easy way to say it. any positive adjective you can think of that describes God. Say it out loud. And here's why I say that, because we often start our prayers like God's a spiritual Santa Claus. We often come to God and say, hey, God, I need help with this. I need help with that. Will you do this? Thank you for this. I need help with this. But what we see here, to be filled with the Spirit, we must first position ourselves correctly with God. And if we start with adoration, it puts him in his proper place. So adoration would just be like, you're good. God, you're king. You're also my dad. You're a friend, the Bible says. That's awesome. You're really powerful. You're the Prince of Peace. You're a comforter. God, you're really smart. Any positive adjective. I would even encourage you, like, write them down. It's really cool. Like, you'd be like, ah. And, like, on day 21, you'll see, like, I'm repeating some. He is really this to me. You'll think of new ones. Start with A, adoration. Then C stands for confession. Everybody say confession. Now, I'm not trying to get too Catholic on you, but the Catholic Church doesn't have the copyright on confession. That's the Bible. And the Bible says that confession is not just cathartic, it's healing. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. So we start by going, God, you're awesome. You're cool. Like, you're rad. Like, you're amazing. You're strong. You're powerful. You're near. And then we go, hey, God, I just want to acknowledge and say I'm sorry. I definitely told a lie yesterday. I know it was a little white lie, but I know you heard it. Or, God, I had some negative thoughts about my spouse, and I know I shouldn't be thinking that way. I just want to confess that. Hey, God, like, you know I've been struggling with this habit, and I just need to talk to you about it. And I'm still struggling with it, but I just want to confess that I know I shouldn't do it. Confession, just be real and detailed. Detailed. It's kind of like saying I'm sorry to God. Like, hey, I'm sorry. I missed the mark. That's what sin is. And how many of you know, like, a general apology isn't good a good apology? Like, when you get in a fight with somebody and you say all these negative things about them, and then you go to them and you go, I'm sorry for what I said. That is the worst apology ever. I would say that's not even a good apology. They say good apologies are specific. I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry. Some of you should try that. You would never say the things you say again if you had to apologize for every single one. Right? Try it with God. Hey, God, I just want to confess. Some of us are going to be there for an hour tomorrow morning. And you're like, yeah, I got a lot to go. But just confess. So adoration, A, C, confession. T stands for thanksgiving. This is when it gets really fun. So after we adore God and put him in his right place, then we confess and put us in our right place. Ah, we need you. Then we start thanking God. God, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm breathing. Thank you that I got shoes. Thank you that I have clothes. Thank you that I have a car. Thank you that we have paved roads. God, thank you that we have a church. Thank you that we have air conditioning. God, thank you that I have some family that's still alive. God, thank you that I have more than one outfit because so many people around the world don't have that. God, thank you that there's food on my table. God, thank you for your spirit. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the talents and gifts you've given me. God, thank you for my eyebrows. God, thank you for my ears. God, you could go on and on and on, but it won't take but 5 minutes and you'll realize I am blessed. Just thank him. Again, write it down. It gets really cool. Get specific with it. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. And then S is this Christianese word, supplication. Supplication just means now you get to ask God for things. So after we've adored him, confessed, after we've thanked him, then we go, hey, God, my uncle's battling cancer. And I would love if you healed him. Would you heal him? Hey, God, I'm struggling at my work right now. Would you just be that way maker? I need you to make a way. Hey, God, Overflow Church and our country as a whole is going through a pandemic and civil unrest. God, we need you. Will you help us? That's when we lift up other people and lift up our needs. It's after all of that. I guarantee you just try that for 21 days straight. You talk about fill up your tank. Oof, that just gets me excited thinking about it. But Overflow, that's my prayer. For those of you watching online, for those of us here in person, is for the next 21 days and beyond that we would walk around and actually live out the title of this church. Because you can't overflow if you're running on empty. You can't overflow if you're only half full. You only overflow when you are filled with the Spirit of God. So in light of that, we're just going to sing one more song. It's a great song about how amazing and beautiful and powerful the name of Jesus is. And as we sing this, I would just implore you, ask you, challenge you maybe if you've never asked God, maybe you've said yes to Jesus, maybe you follow him, maybe you have the Holy Spirit. But in these last few moments, maybe put your hands out like this and say, God, will you fill me with your Spirit? Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the power of your word. And right now, as we sing out these truths, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we worship. Amen.